jagged rocks.
I'm fine with that.
Costs extra money. Yeah, you're fine with it. You don't live here.
Jagged rocks are great.
Jagged rocks are the best. I love the look you see for 2 hours once a month.
Makes it look so profesh, though, and feel like a real little studio. Look at it. Welcome to The Thought Dish. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Elizabeth.
And what's on your plate today, Elizabeth?
Besides the fact that I felt like I said my name wrong, which is such a weird thing to do on a podcast. I was just thinking, we talked last time about the future of the podcast, and now I'm just kind of reflecting on the past. We talked a bit, even when we were setting up for this these episodes, was like I could hear me in your audio sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a conversation about how there's an echo in some of the episodes. And you asked me one time, like, why is there no echoes in the first episodes? But then there's echoes after that. I'm like, because I spent 3.5 hours slicing and dicing our audio. And I'm not doing that again.
Makes sense.
Here I'll have it once in a while that I'll hear it back and forth. And so I'll remove it. But other than that, that's just how it is. And that's just going to be the way it is until we have like these super expensive microphones and I can put padding on the walls, because I currently live in an apartment where putting padding on the walls seems like a great idea until it's not. I've already ripped some of the wall off with what I've put up now, but it's fine.
That could be a fun project, trying to figure out how to do that.
Put everything on the walls. I'm like, I know what I'm supposed to do. It's just some of the foam that makes it not look like jagged rocks.
I'm fine with that.
Costs extra money. Yeah, you're fine with it. You don't live here.
Jagged rocks are great.
Jagged rocks are the best. I love the look you see for 2 hours once a month.
Makes it look so profesh, though, and feel like a real little studio. Look at it. I would like it. I would enjoy it.
Yeah, well, you would be the only one.
Yeah, probably.
This isn't about you, Kayla.
Yeah.
This podcast with two people is not about either of us. But we're looking back on some of the stuff. Mine's a lot of it technical, and I know yours is a lot just like actually listening to it.
Yeah.
And I think, and we talked about it before, of how manic you felt you sounded in the first episode. I know that at some point my voice dropped a lot. Like I was showboating at the beginning, like I was doing like the customer service voice, and then it dropped. And then I felt like, oh God, I don't have any enthusiasm behind it. But like right now I do have enthusiasm, but I still don't have customer service voice.
Right.
So finding that balance was really important, because I think at halfway through I was getting really tired because I was trying to like edit it immediately and realizing like that's not going to work. I don't have time. Like,
yeah.
I was already making myself exhausted before we even started. And so this year we planned on organizing that better, treating it more like a business because it deserves it. And I think it's going to show, because that audio quality, the sound, the enthusiasm behind the voice is going to be there a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, and I think like we were talking about sustainability a little bit last episode too, and like it just creates more stability and sustainability when we're being more true. And I feel like that's just where we've gotten to after the first season, is just understanding what really works and a little bit more anyway, because mm-hmm. I know there's a lot more to learn, but like what worked and what didn't work. And then we can go through this year knowing a lot more than we did when we started.
Yeah. Like how you're hiding behind your microphone because you don't want to be recorded.
I mean, I'll get there.
She'll find it one day.
One day.
When we upgrade her mic, it'll be better too.
And then I think we were talking about in the first couple episodes, we were talking about friends and dreams and like quantity versus quality with friends mm-hmm. when you're younger. Mm-hmm. And then as you get older, like the quality of a small group of friends over the quantity of knowing all these people, and how we like develop those relationships as adults. I think mm-hmm. that was kind of cool, that like going back and listening to that, first of all, listening to my manic state, but then also just like listening to what I thought with friends versus what I think now. And it's very similar, but there's just been a couple things where I'm realizing, like, I guess boundaries is the biggest thing, and understanding like who's actually working on creating healthy boundaries and then which ones aren't going to do that.
And also the ones that know the terminology and are going to use it against you.
Right.
I've learned that in the past couple of years even, that some people almost weaponize their therapy, which a lot of times it's warranted. Like, I get it completely. But sometimes it feels like they're forgetting that boundaries are your bubble and not the other person's bubble. You can't make me do anything.
Right.
It's just you decide not to be around me anymore because of that.
Yep.
And I think we've started to implement that more. Like, we've talked about boundaries last season too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even then we knew enough, but we weren't implementing it. Like, to be honest, a lot of our podcast is us talking shit that we know about, but we just won't follow through.
Well, and I think that's a lot of people in general, mm-hmm. too. It's like, you know all these things, but are you actually practicing them or are you just talking about them? Right. And I think 2024, I feel like I'm going to be doing a lot more action with my verbiage.
Like, right. We're making the noun verb combo stick.
Yeah.
Well, and it's the reality of us saying that, and like people who listen to it, and like, yes, we talked a lot of stuff and we talked about a lot of stuff. And the reality of it is we still don't 100% know. And we'll probably bring that topic up again and have completely different thought processes mm-hmm. since then. And it's the same thing with, we've had an ebb and flow of friendship come in and out in this past year. And hugely. Also realizing that, like, your friends and my friends don't have to 100% be the same people. Mm-mm.
Even the level of the friends, like, I could be so close to one person and, like, you could be like, yeah, they're like an acquaintance to me, but they're not like
right.
my bestie, you know.
I'm not going to invite them over for a sleepover.
And then there's some people that you're probably like, I'd rather not hang out with them. And the same thing with me. And mm-hmm. it's like, we can still have like group activities and stuff like that, but we just kind of know more of where we stand. And
right.
I think there's nothing wrong with that. It's right. just knowing.
Right. And it takes a lot too. Like, our friendship, luckily, like, we could probably have that conversation of like, hey, I'm not a huge fan of so-and-so. And it's not like a personal attack against each other.
No.
Like, how dare you hate my favorite human being? It's like, I don't hate them. I just, we don't mesh.
Yep.
And that doesn't mean they're a bad person. It's just, that means I have only so many spoons and I'm getting less spoons every day. And I don't want to half-ass my friendships. Will I ever be mean to them? No, never. And I think I talked about this last time we were out of friendships. It's like, I'm not going to be mean to people, just be mean to them. And if it's a group setting, I will be cordial and interact and do my best not to start a fight. I make that joke as if I do start fights. Just drunk me wants to start fights with anybody. So maybe we don't bring her around very much. But it's just more that respecting the your mental space. And yeah. not
and your
putting
energy
yourself
level.
More. Yeah. Not putting yourself out more to the people who won't appreciate it the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've picked up new friends from our, like, because we have a friend group that's just a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. Some people get along better than others. That's just life. And when we have big gatherings, that's the group. And you can also see where they kind of, how conversations end up too, where you see them kind of cluster together in certain groups because they just communicate so much better.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad we have a big enough group that they can do that, because I'd hate to have like one person just standing someplace not being able to mesh with any group. And that doesn't happen. Like,
right.
it's just everybody flows. And so that, I think, is important. But it's also important to notice, like, you can't convince all of them to talk to each other at the same time. Like, it's not going to happen.
What I think is really cool is we have all these like little events within this big group. And some people show up, some people don't, whatever. And it's like, we just show up how we are. So you might, like, at least for me, I might get along with somebody so much better on one day than I do the next time.
Right.
Just because my energy is at a certain level or whatever it is. And then that person is also in that energy. So then it's easier. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's just been such an interesting,
yep.
I don't know, development of what relationships mean to me in the last year.
It also helps that you don't get to feel that guilt either, because the group's so big.
Yeah.
That when you don't go to the event, it's, some people will notice. They'll be like, oh, sorry, I didn't see you there. But it's not one of those things like, well, they're not dependent on me being the conversational person for them.
Right.
So
And like, yeah, there, if I can't make something, of course there's a little bit of FOMO, but it's like, yeah, there will be other things.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, half of it, we plan ourselves. So it's like between you, me and Chelsea, I feel like we plan like everything all the time.
Yeah. Christmas in July.
Soup day, the soup contest. We're going to have like Christmas. We're going to have, I want to do, and it might have to be a smaller group of like a book day where like you read and you like buy somebody a book. That, or like you bring your favorite book to give to somebody else. And,
ooh, that'd be cool.
Or you go to a secondhand store and bring a book and then you guys just read for the whole day and then kind of like talk and hang out. And, but I have to find space for that. And then also, who's going to go to that? And then also...
That's a really cool idea.
But that's also like a group too that if there's people who have to talk, like there's some people that they're like, I'm don't talk during the day, during work. I have to, if I'm going to go out to this... event, I want it to be a talking event. So those mm-hmm. people like don't usually go to movies because it's like, well, I can't talk to my friends. It's not as engaging. This would not be their event. And neither them nor I would be like, how dare you not show up?
I don't know how many times over the past year it's been like, come over, we'll watch this movie. Nope. The moment they get there, it's like, we have catching up to do, and it happens. And then it's like, never mind. The movie is pointless. Like, that's not going to happen.
The movie is you fucking Netflix and chilling.
Yep.
Being like, yo, let's talk shit.
Yep. Tell me all about you and your life now.
You're like, I have the spoons for it. Let's go.
Yep.
I don't really have that. I should probably, Kayla, we should have that. Do you want to watch a movie?
Yeah, that'll be the intent. And then it never, ever happens.
Instead, we have a podcast and D&D. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just tell everybody my problems. I make my problems everybody else's problems. it's communism, but for problems. But how did you feel the first couple episodes, like getting into it? Because I know it was kind of like sprung into action. Like, yeah, let's do this day. And then I had you appear and I already had mics set up and everything.
I think it was intimidating, but I was really excited about it. Like, I mean, and you can clearly even tell, like, I was pumped, you know, those first couple episodes for sure. Mm-hmm. And I think it was just new. So it was exciting. Mm-hmm. And then we talked about some subjects that were really important to me, like friends and quality of those friends. And then the second episode, we talked about like faking it till you make it and imposter syndrome and things mm-hmm. like that. And that's clearly always going to be a thing where imposter syndrome will just rear its ugly face every once in a while when things feel like they shouldn't be happening to me or why me, things mm-hmm. like that. So that was cool to listen to that a year ago this month and realize like that's always going to be a thing. It's just navigating it differently.
Right. Yeah. Like our thought process on it is probably a little different, you know? Because we're a year removed from that. It's so funny to think of how much it's changed in just a year. You know?
Yeah. Well, and the imposter syndrome that I felt last year at this time was very much attached to anxiety that wasn't treated.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, the anxiety is treated and it's like I'm able to feel the feelings and realize like, okay, I'm looking at this imposter syndrome thing in a very unhealthy way. So how do I get to the healthy way?
Right.
And I have the space now or like the brain space to be able to think about those things mm-hmm. and realize I know more than I think I do when I'm really stressed out about things.
Right.
And accepting it. And that's the hard part is getting to the acceptance part.
Yeah. Accepting anything is hard, especially when you have any level of like perfectionism or if you see yourself fail. Like I see myself fail all the time and,
yep.
and other people are like, what are you talking about? And then also defining failure too.
Yep.
Because our definition of failure is 1,000 times worse.
I feel like failure for me, the icky part of failure that I think of is like mistakes, but that's how you learn. That's the only way you can learn. That's
the only way to become an expert in your field is to, whoops, that didn't work. Well, right. Then it doesn't help for me. I go into a field where it changes all the time. So you can learn it and then next week it's different.
Yep.
And so you have to be willing to be like, well, that was different and now I don't know that. So I need to go find somebody who does and then we can talk it out.
I feel like that is right there. Like what you do for your business and how it changes so often. I feel like that's how I feel as a business owner with employees all the time. mm-hmm. of just like, oh, that's not what I thought. Oh, okay, that's not what I thought. Okay, now I have to think differently. It's a constant mm-hmm. thing like that because I'm constantly learning.
Mm-hmm. I think anybody who has a career, not just a job, like a career, has that. Because like a job, yeah, sure, you have those moments, but overall, like, you just go to your job, you do your job, great, fantastic. But if you have a career, that means you're always trying to reach the next level in said career. And that's the same thing if, okay, so you have a job, but maybe it's your hobbies. Maybe your hobbies are what's going to be the thing that you reach the next level. Maybe you're always trying to reach the next level with your hobby, because jobs are not life. It's what you decide is your life. And that part is the part where you have achievement, and that's where you have ambition. And I think I've talked before where it's like, I didn't care if I dated a guy who went to college or who had a job that was just a job. I just wanted something in their life that they had ambition for. And mm-hmm. maybe it's their hobby, you know, maybe it's their home life. Maybe yeah. it's something else.
Like, what makes you get up in the morning?
Exactly. What brings you joy too? Yeah. You know, a healthy thing that brings you joy and that you keep trying to better yourself with, because I think if you stop trying to better at least one part of your life, you get very stagnant and then you just kind of have a shitty life. I think it's one of those things where you don't have to strive very hard. Maybe it's, you know, maybe you just really love reading books. And so you give yourself a challenge of reading X amount of books every year. And that's the thing that you have ambition for. That is something that is important.
Right.
And, you know, that's good enough. And for me, that's what I wanted, is something that you, that lights you up when you talk about it.
Yeah.
And that was it.
I think what I'm trying to get in my head is like, I have employees. So I think anyone in a management position or a parent who has people that depend on them, mm-hmm. It feels like it's a lot more serious, and like, you just really have to like be serious all the time, and you can't mm-hmm. have fun because you have these people depending on you and you have to just grind. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm trying to do the things for me this year more versus others mm-hmm. a little bit more, because it felt really, really hard in 2023 to do a lot of things. And it was because I was doing things for other people the entire year instead mm-hmm. of doing it for me and what I need for my life. Because I feel like when I'm connected to that more, things just flow better for everyone. Yeah. So it's kind of taking back, I mean, I know it kind of sounds cliche, but taking back my power in that way of,
yeah,
what do I need? And really thinking about that more.
I think you can probably notice it in some of the episodes too, where you were having those weekends
mm-hmm.
where you were gone. Like, this is just, you're going through the flow of it because you promised somebody else that you're doing it. And even if people can't tell in the audio, I could tell at least in some of the instances when you show up and you're like, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And how quickly your mood could change if I, you know, said something that was heavy or something, mm-hmm. you know, because you weren't in a place to hold any other space. You were just like, let me just get through this.
Yep.
Without admitting that's where you were.
Yep.
And I think that's also another reason why we're switching how we're recording now, because that gives you more time for you to do you know? And I think reflectively, we were definitely grinding in everything we were doing. And then we kept adding more things.
Yeah. So then it kind of felt a little bit forced at times. And I think now it's like, we can do things at our own pace and how we want to, and mm-hmm. that's okay.
Well, that's also why we took that break, because yep. I thought it was very important, especially during the holidays, like, just take this time. We need out of this 4 or 5 minutes, so that way we come back to it and love it again.
Yep.
Because we were not loving ourselves as much as we should.
Yeah.
And we can't reflect that in a audio fucking based.
Like, and I don't think it was just for me anyway. I don't think it was just Thought Dish. I think it mm-hmm. was just everything that was going on in my life and what I was allowing at the end of the day, not what was happening to me, but like what I was letting happen mm-hmm. to me. It was a lot, and I let mm-hmm. it kind of infect me. And so, yeah, I think that this year is going to be better in a lot of ways, yeah. which I mean, think that's how it should be every year.
I mean, outside of Fantasy, we had some conversations where we ended up in tears, and just like the conversation was just almost, it wasn't cruel, but it was like along that lines of just like, we just did not like each other.
Mm-hmm.
during those conversations. We were just like, why would you do this to like to each other?
Yeah.
We felt very hurt. And we didn't feel very, we felt hurt, but not hurt.
Yep.
And I think we needed a break in things. We needed to reassess our goals independently.
Yep.
And then be able to come back and be like, okay, we can still do Thought Dish. Everything's doing great there. We're feeling better on our conversations. Otherwise, we're doing other things together. But also, we don't have to talk to each other all the time.
Yeah.
Because we were getting to the point where we're talking to each other so much because we are involved in so many things. Business, Thought Dish, D&D. That we were annoying each other.
I think so. It's almost like, yeah, like you get to that like sister level of like, this is, it's a lot all the time. Yeah.
But at the same time, it did still feel on that sister level because it still felt safe enough for me to be like, fuck you. And you would be like, fuck you. And it wasn't like, we'd still talk to each other.
Tomorrow. Yep. Yep.
And I think it felt a little codependent, but not terrible because I'm so used to like, as soon as I bring up a feeling, that means I'm ready to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was so afraid to rock the boat with any of my friends, with anything. And feeling safe enough for me to come to you and be like, actually, I really hated that.
Yeah.
As much as it still hurt to have that conversation, I'm glad we were able to do it.
Yeah. And I think that's the important thing. And like when we were talking about friends in the first ever podcast we did last year, that's, I think, how you develop those relationships, honestly, is like the big tough things have to come up and the big tough conversations have to follow instead of just being like avoidant of the situation. I think that's how you build like strong, healthy relationships. That's the only way you can.
Right. And I'd also like to point out, we never yelled at each other, which is also something that's very weird for me because I'm so used to like my parents.
Yeah.
Totally. It was just like a screaming fest. Yep. And you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And so that's the same thing where like I have conversations with Taylor. I think I'm doing it wrong because he'll say, okay, I understand. And I'm like waiting for the like, no, you're not supposed to understand. You're supposed to have your whole like, side.
You're passive aggressive.
You're supposed to have your whole side. And it's supposed to be this whole thing. And you're supposed to yell at me. And then we can have a conversation. But it doesn't work that way. And I think we also, as people who have been traumatized, we throw ourselves so aggressively to the people who don't yell at us. People who are like kind to what we say, that we sometimes become overbearing and then we sabotage the relationship if we don't take a second and be like, no, have the conversation. Also understand they will have other feelings. We've talked about how you and I have very different like backgrounds and very different ways we see things. And yet we've had the little tiffs here or there. And then we're able to like, okay, get up next day. Function.
Yeah.
Move on. Is it hard? Yes. But we do it.
Well, and I think it like trusting myself with the boundaries and stuff too. I think that's been huge to like just being able to trust other people. I think it's more trusting myself that if a big topic comes up or something that it's gonna be okay. And then
also trusting yourself that you're picking people to be around.
Right.
That are not trying to hurt you. Which took a lot of work because I have been hurt by friendships and then also realizing those friendships were the same sort of relationship I was having with other people that were hurting me. And so I was like pulling in people that were just going to continuously hurt me. But then creating boundaries, creating things in place, trusting yourself to trust other, then you can trust other people.
Right. And I think that just comes with like, honestly, just more self-growth. And just learning about yourself more and understanding like what's healthy for you and what your values are. Like for me, with a good friend, it's kindness for sure, but then just being honest and having integrity. And if somebody doesn't have that, that's not somebody I want to be around.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to walk away from that argument and then still have a friendship.
Right.
You know?
It would feel very unsafe going forward or trying to go and have another conversation like that, it would feel like, well, what's going to happen next time? Yeah.
And yeah. If we have an argument, there have
been some of those people where it's not like you have like a really big conversation about it. And I think I've talked about like, you know, different friendships ending in the past with other episodes last year, but like really realizing why you don't want to spend as much time with certain people. And then again, accepting that.
Right. The red flag comes up in the middle of that argument. You're like, oh,
yeah.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah. And like you were talking about, like, you know, yelling was happening in your household. Yelling happened from one party in my household. Mm-hmm. I had a very submissive parent and a very aggressive parent. And then, you know, I think tying to it, it's the scared or the fear of like physical things happening. But really now in my adult life, it's more like emotional, mental harm that can happen, I think.
Yep. I think arguments will still be exhausting because you're laying out a lot of stuff and you're being very vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have to create the environment within yourself to be able to go retreat and refill from that.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have that and you're constantly, especially in a physical and mental environment where you can't recover, then those get worse and worse and worse. And if that's the type of person you're around that doesn't allow you to recover from that, then that becomes like a huge problem too, where they're just constantly pushing it until you finally cave.
Yep. And that's the whole walking on eggshells thing. Mm-hmm. Like right when I feel like I'm walking on eggshells with somebody, that's when I know I need to take a pause and figure out if it's just that situation or if it's just that individual person and where they are at that point in their life.
Mm-hmm.
It's just hard. And then it's, those things can change. There were a couple of people last year that I felt like I wanted at like arm's length, and now they're closer to me, and the exact opposite has happened. So like,
right.
It's a little bit of everything.
Yeah. Yeah. It also, I've realized in some friendships where I get rose colored glasses very quickly, and then they fall apart very quickly too. And so I think I'm an asshole because I like go in thinking like, this is the best ever. And then I start getting like tiny little icks of like, oh, this reminds me of when this happened from a person that was bad to me. And then like little things keep popping up, and then I'm like, oh no, oh no, 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 no. So then I feel like this asshole because like I start pulling back from a friendship because I went way too aggressively into a friendship. And I'm like, I need to learn to find the middle ground, which I'm kind of glad like the group allows that, because you're not allowed to like sit in a room with one person for very long without like other people being there.
Yeah.
So you can like, I feel like a little bit like a dog in a shelter where I need like a little bit of like, let me sniff the hand and then maybe see if a friend.
I think that's what it is. Like, it's learning how to trust people as you're learning to trust yourself. And like, we're all human. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, you meet somebody and it's like, oh my God, they're the perfect person ever. Like whether it's a romantic relationship or a friendship. And then it's like, oh, now they're human. Oh shit. You know, like
they're human without that doesn't want to adjust how they talk about themselves or learn about themselves, or they're refusing to do the extra step to make them. It's not to make them, but more like to help them understand themselves better.
Yeah. Well, and I think like you have to be patient and be able to see other people's points of view. Mm-hmm. And if you can't do that, I feel like you just can't really have a deep, meaningful relationship. Like you can't. There's only like so far you can go. And then you're like, you're not meeting me where I'm at, and I don't think it's gonna get there. So this is where we're at
now. If the compromise is mostly you just constantly giving in, that is not a friendship or a relationship you should be in. That's not how compromise works.
No, especially if it feels unsafe. And like I can always tell too, like if somebody starts to text me or Voxer me or something, and I get like this like, oh no, like what happened, or like what is this conversation gonna be like, that's kind of my like, something's not right. Either I have to have a conversation, or if I've had a many, many conversations with that person, it's like, okay, well, maybe I just need a break.
For me, you make me nervous sometimes when you text me, but it's only because I do business with you too. So I'm like, oh, fuck, what did I fuck up?
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
And so I'm like, maybe I need more anxiety meds.
Sam and I were talking about this last night too, of like how I want to get to like the next level of intimacy in a way of like, I'm getting to this point now with Sam where we've been together for, it'll be 7 years in May. And like, I'm starting to realize some patterns that have happened to me in the past with romantic relationships, and wanting to have some like serious conversations that make him very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But we're both taking baby steps in those directions, because it's unseen territory for him and it's unseen territory for me. And we both love each other so much that we don't want things to spiral or get out of control or become unhealthy mm-hmm. when we're having these conversations. But it's big, it's different, and it's just kind of trusting ourselves and trusting each other that mm-hmm. we can go forward and have those conversations and still love each other.
Yeah. Well, we will love you all after this short break. I'm really bad at transitioning. I'm trying so hard.
We won't love you all, but we'll try.
We'll smile. We'll smile knowingly at you as you pass. We'll do the white people smile when you walk by. A little like lip press together, and you're like, and you just keep walking. Yeah, we'll do that.
You mean the North Dakota nice? No.
Oh, that's the white person smile.
That's awesome.
I love that for us. But we'll be right back after this short break of musical interlude, and maybe one day we'll have an ad in the musical interlude. But for right now, it's just a beautiful musical interlude for you specifically. We picked it out just for you this time last year, specifically.
Yep, specifically.
Specifically.
Welcome back. I want to say first that I will love everybody actually out there. I think that thinking about last year and thinking about this year, it's loving people where they're at, regardless of anything else. So sometimes that means that you're loving them where they're at, like over there, not here, which is okay. Sometimes it's temporary and sometimes it needs to be longer than that.
You went real deep.
I did. I feel like this
and
is
I was
I feel like it's it is deeper.
I was just going, I'm like, we'll love you. Okay, bye. Like
I think that sometimes it's good to be a little deep, and I think right now the conversation went there a little bit. Just seeing other people's point of views and just yeah, just seeing where they're at and seeing where you can go without hurting yourself in your boundaries.
Wow. That was more intense than I was hoping for.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready for it. I don't know if I'm here for it. My boundary is.
Well, I've been learning too about boundaries in a deeper way too with one of our friends of like, there's like hard boundaries and then there's like soft boundaries mm-hmm. or like flexible boundaries or something. So I'm excited to learn more about that too. Cause I mean, I'm finally just getting the gist of what like an actual boundary is.
Mm-hmm.
And then like figuring out how to categorize them. I'm like, whoa, 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 what? Like there's different boundaries for what?
And there's also different boundaries for different people.
Yep.
Like Taylor's allowed to do a lot fucking more shit than anybody else.
Yep. Same with Sam.
And then a few people like you and my sister and stuff like that. I feel like at this point I'm basically your sister. And it sucks that we're basically siblings now.
Well, I think we can have just those like hard conversations or like be goofy and like not be mm-hmm. serious and whatever. And that takes a lot of time and trust. Yeah. So.
Well, and then there's a thing I learned that like gossip is a very fundamental requirement for a society that is moving forward. Like gossip has been in the human existence for the entire human existence. It is there to help create societies and help grow societies and help people join. The problem is we put like gossip into like this, just talking shit for no reason, right?
Yeah.
Talking shit and then viscerally trying to ruin their life. Like that's not how gossip is supposed to be. Gossip is supposed to like ping the other person being like, are we on the same wavelength? Are you my person? If you're not my person, then you don't stay in that circle.
Mm-hmm.
And so I realized that like I tried so hard not to have friends that I talk shit with. I tried so hard. Realizing that I so need somebody to talk shit with.
Yeah.
And it's never anything bad. It's just like fleshing out the sides of a conversation you were never able to have with another person. You're just going off like they did this, blah, 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 blah. And the person you're gossiping with can say, yeah, you're still in the wrong, bro. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, that's, and I think that that's like helping to understand what's happening. And
mm-hmm.
if you try to do that in your own brain, sometimes it turns into something that doesn't mm-hmm. make any sense from what mm-hmm. the actual, like the start of the whole topic, like how it started, it transpires into something that was never supposed to be there. Then you get one outside perspective and you're like, oh, okay. That makes sense.
Or to even confirm some of your stuff. Because I've talked to friends being like, did such and such happen this way? Am I going crazy? And they're like, no, I felt the same way. I thought I was going crazy.
Yeah.
And in reality, it's just like, you need somebody, you need, because otherwise you have confirmation bias, which you still kind of get with friends anyway.
Yeah.
But you need to like not have your brain be the only decision. And you can still be wrong in this gossipy session of like, you both are wrong. What is wrong with you? But it's still necessary to grow you as a person.
Well, yeah. And it creates that like more trust and community, like you're talking mm-hmm. about too. Like
mm-hmm.
if you can have those conversations too, you're like, yeah, like that's totally it. Like, and then you just,
that's why gossip's so important. And yet gossip's also bad. So like gossip is important, but also gossip's bad.
It can be. Yeah. Especially if it's being used to hurt somebody, for sure.
Exactly. Anytime I gossip with anybody, it is not supposed to go outside that gossip.
No.
If it goes outside the gossip session, they've ruined the whole point. There's a bro code in this gossip session.
Well, and there's been people in my past too that have said things like, I don't ever want you to talk about me. And mm-hmm. that statement right there, like that's a really, really hard thing to navigate for me. Cause I'm like mm-hmm. that. It feels like a very like controlling.
That is the equivalent of weaponizing boundaries, because you can control what's inside your circle, but you cannot control somebody else.
Yeah. And it makes me feel like I don't want to have any further conversations, because what if I accidentally then say something about that person? Right.
So like so-and-so was like so grumpy this morning. Did you feel that? That would have been talking about them. In reality, you're just trying to assess like, is everything good in the hood? Like where are we at? Like,
yeah.
Is this person having a bad, do you know something? Like, are they having a rough time? Do I need to back off?
Right.
Like half the time gossiping is trying to find out, like assessing somebody else if they're okay.
Yeah.
Or if I'm okay. Like, am I okay in the situation? Did I fuck up?
Yeah. like if you're having those hard conversations to understand someone's perspective or why they're doing something, I feel like that's so healthy.
A lot of times if someone says like, don't ever talk about me, it comes from a place that of hurt. That doesn't involve you, but it's something that they need to work through.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of when I really peeled back the layers and started thinking mm-hmm. about what that meant. That's exactly what I came to. And I did, unfortunately, have to talk about that person to a couple of very close, trusted people to understand, like, that's a boundary to me that makes me very, very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where I had to take a step back and be like, if that's their truth and where they are, then I don't feel comfortable having any further conversation
right.
with that person.
Well, and it's like, I always think of gossip in the way of, if I'm talking to somebody and they're talking about somebody else, would I be comfortable with the way they're talking about that person yes. if they were talking about me?
Yes, exactly.
And if I am, like, because I know I'm a shitty person sometimes.
I think we all are. We're right. all shitty people sometimes.
So I also come into gossip too of when I talk about somebody else, that I'm talking about it in a kind enough way, because I'm trying to imagine if someone was talking about me or if I was talking about me. Does it always come off that way? No, because I'm a little bit of a shitty person. And I think that comes off with the podcast too, where we were so afraid to talk about some things because we didn't want to feel like it was gossip.
Mm-hmm.
And in reality, it's like, just fucking talk about it.
Yep.
We're not bad people.
No.
Fundamentally, we put too much of our energy into making sure everybody else is okay.
Yep.
And so the podcast is us talking shit, eating hot dish, and petting my cat.
Yep.
Those are the three important aspects of Hot Dish Podcast.
And doing things like kind of going right back around where we started is like doing things in 2024 more for what works for me. And not thinking as much about what other people need.
Yeah. Because I found that a lot in our last season was a lot of worry about what other people
were thinking or mm-hmm. what we should be talking about, what other people would want to hear. Or mm-hmm. maybe we shouldn't say it this way because it might be bad for some people. And like, mm-hmm. I'm not here for that anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just like, whatever we want to talk about, if it's a subject that comes up with somebody requesting something, or something that we think of that's like, yeah, this is controversial, but it's something that's important to us, I think we should.
Yeah, I do. We've talked about it before. Like, we do like having a little conversation beforehand so that we're not heated when we come in.
Right.
We want to come in as good people. Like, not, I hate saying good people, but more like
kindness.
Kindness. Coming in from a place of empathy and compassion, and yet still understanding that we have feelings and we're people and we're going to say shit. Otherwise, the podcast doesn't have anything because we just talk shit the entire time. We talked about ghosts for a whole episode, okay? Like, we talk about shit, okay? It's just how it is. And we have fun. It's supposed to be a conversation where you're hanging out with your best friend. It's a sleepover. We're all talking shit.
Yep.
That's the whole point of this podcast. If we can't gossip, what's the point?
Right. We're going to talk about our thoughts, goddammit.
We'll talk about our feelings. And we're going to braid each other's hair.
Well, that would be complicated at the same time I'm doing this.
Yeah, you're doodling, so I don't know if you can do anything else.
Yeah, no, I can't.
So what's your doodles look like from the past year? What was your serial killer vibe?
I was going to say, so that's what I told Liz before I started. I started flipping through this because I haven't seen it in, like, you know, 3 months. It looks like
in my apartment.
If anybody, like, saw this and opened it, they'd be like, this person is a sociopath. And I'm very frightened for my well-being.
You draw a lot of hearts, though. It kind of gives me the vibe of, like, a middle school kid, like, writing their crush's last name with their name and hearts
constantly
around it.
Constantly. Yep. And I actually do a lot of cursive writing, which is funny because I don't in normal real life. Like, I don't ever do cursive, but I do a lot here, which is kind of pretty and kind of fun.
Look at you go.
Yeah.
You also make it look like a serial killer. Like,
I do. It definitely looks like the ring in some of these drawings as well. Like a lot of like little doodle swirls and they turn into the black hole and it's a little terrifying, but it's fine.
And this is why she can't look at me ever while we podcast. She has to put out her serial killer vibes into
the
notebook.
I have to be doing that. Otherwise, it just wouldn't come off right. It just wouldn't.
The only way we have the emotional like grounding for Kayla. She just does this. Do you think that you'll write any real notes this coming season?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's something I could post if we get like a coffee, right?
I feel like we're going to auction off as soon as you're done with this notebook completely. We'll just auction it off.
Oh my God. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how I feel about that. It'd have to be a pretty good amount. It'd have to be a good starting auction.
It's got to have six figures. We'll auction it off for charity. It's fine.
Yeah. There we go. I could get behind that.
Then it only has to be five figures instead of six.
Right. Yeah. There we go.
I don't know. I think we joked about that last time. And at that point, you only had a couple pages of serial killer. And now you have too many. And you're like, whoa.
Now it just looks a little crazy seeing it all together. Like, I'm like, Maybe, okay. That's a little much. But
maybe we can scrapbook some in there. Just add some like stickers and stuff. Make it less.
Well, and some of the things that I like highlighted, meaning like I wrote over them a million times, it's so funny because it's a theme the whole time. Like if I go back to like September, there's self-care boundaries, valuing myself first. Like we were just talking about that the whole time. So it's like, I know these things. Now it's just doing more of the things this
apparently
year.
We talk about the same thing every episode. How are you guys listening?
Yeah, like... Are you okay? Because I don't know if we're okay.
We're not okay. We're not okay. I think we need to get a sponsorship from a therapist here on town. Please, somebody, can we just go to my therapist and be like, we need a sponsor.
We'll just continue to not be okay. And then you guys cannot be okay with us. And it's just, that's how it will go.
What you need to do is this episode, re-listen to it. But at the beginning, bring your own doodle book out.
There you go.
And doodle. And then we can compare your doodle with Kayla's doodle and see if we actually just bring out the serial killer.
I mean, that could be a thing. That's a theory. That is a whole theory.
So listen to this whole listen to last season. How about that? Listen to last season. Doodle the whole time. Send in your photos.
There we go. I may compare notes.
DM us on Instagram.
There we go. Being more active on social media, that'll be a 2024 goal, which wouldn't be that hard.
Fish, I'm the one that does it.
I need to go on there and creep more. That's what I need to do. That was fun.
Yeah, you need to be your creep.
Yep. Class creep. That's me.
I hate it for you. This is why you have your fucking situation.
What situation?
Your notebook.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it could be.
Your situation is the notebook.
It's gonna be my thing. Oh no.
I don't know what to do with you. That's okay. It's okay. stop looking at it so intently. I think you are a serial killer now.
I mean, maybe.
Where were you the day of October
9th? Let's see. September 10th.
That is not October 9th.
We talked about burnout on September 10th. October 8th. We talked about spooky season.
Oh. So I was really close. I was just throwing out a number.
And we talked about witches. That must have been, yes, that was our Halloween special stuff. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then we talked about responsibility, which, oofta. That was a big one.
We go from ghosts and witches to responsibility.
Yep.
This podcast has everything.
Yep.
All you ever need. I'm done with you. Just stop doodling like a murderer. Maybe I should get you more colors.
Maybe.
Maybe it'll seem less like a murderer if I give you the rainbow.
I bet I could do that too. I could probably just color to ground, honestly. I could just grab like a color book every single time and just color.
But it's not as fun as your murder drawings.
We could auction off our colors. That'd be so funny.
I was having more fun with your murder books.
I mean, we can continue that too. I can do a half and half.
Two hands.
First half, color book. Second half, serial killer notebook. Thanks for listening to the Thought Dish podcast.
We hope you enjoyed this week's episode. If you loved it, please remember to leave a review.
For access to more content and ridiculousness, check out our Ko-fi and become a member.
And look for us anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast.
Until next time, podcast out.